Today we began with John, the third chapter, and we're looking at the story of Nicodemus, a nighttime visitor who is seeking Jesus out, verses 1 through 9. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So it's an awesome weekend. It's a weekend filled with opportunities to remember and to give thanks. We remember on this Memorial weekend that it's not just about the beer and the barbecue, though I'm sure there'll be plenty around here in our Tri-County area. You can find it on every corner. But let us not forget why we pause. We pause on this wonderful Memorial weekend to remember the sacrifice that our nation was given to us because of the blood sacrifice of our military members and their families. So today we pause to give thanks. This weekend, tomorrow, is not just a day off. It's a day to pause and remember the cost of our freedom. And around the world today, in the Christian world, we pause to celebrate Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus had ascended. It is reported that while the disciples were gathered in one place and on one accord, the Holy Spirit showed up. And the church was born in the upper room, and they went forth from that place into the streets. God showed up as a spirit setting on the disciples to remind us that God makes good of his promise. He promised to send us a comforter. He promised to be creative, to create through us, and he gave to us the birthing of the church. And today, us United Methodists go a little bit further, and we celebrate Aldersgate. Aldersgate is the celebration of John Wesley's transformation, his moment of assurance, that moment when he became convinced in his spirit that God had indeed forgiven him his sin and that he had been made right with God. So it's a busy weekend, and you don't want to spend it all with me. Amen? So we pick up our story with Nicodemus. Who was Nicodemus? I mean, what was his pedigree? What makes the telling of his story so important that John had to include it? And then in the canonization, the putting together the Bible, theologians thought that Nicodemus' story had to be told. Nicodemus was a key leader among the Jews. In his time, he was one of the elite that served as Jesus went about teaching. Nicodemus most likely was from a wealthy, distinguished, and highly respected family. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, one of the brotherhood of 6,000. As a Pharisee, Nicodemus would have taken a pledge in front of three brothers, and he would have given this witness. He dedicated his life to observing every detail of scribal law. The scribes worked out the regulations of the law. The Pharisees consecrated their lives to keeping them to the nth degree. Nicodemus was not only a Pharisee, he was a member of the Sanhedrin court. We would liken that to the Supreme Court of the Jews. Only 70 men out of 6,000 were chosen to serve in this prestigious capacity, which gave them authority over all Jews, no matter where they resided in the world. It was their task to examine and deal with anyone suspected of being a false prophet. These 70 men served as do we have in the United Methodist Church. We have a group that's called the Judicial Council. We don't have 70 of them. We have 9 people, men and women, lay and clergy. And in the United Methodist Church, these 9 are elected every 4 years to interpret church law for 13.5 million United Methodists living on 5 different continents. So, with all of this power, position, and wealth, one might ask, why did Nicodemus seek Jesus out by night? Was it because Nicodemus was afraid of what his peers might think of him being an elitist, a member of the Sanhedrin court, going to take counsel with who was deemed a troublemaker? Was he just seeking out a private conversation so that he could test what he believed about Jesus? All of that's possible, but it's also possible that there's another reason that Nicodemus comes to see Jesus by night. It's possible that Nicodemus was not going to see Jesus for personal reasons, but rather he was going to see Jesus on a mission, on a fact-finding mission, what the military called. He was on a recon for the Sanhedrin court. Why do we suspect this? Because if you listen to the way that Nicodemus begins his conversation with Jesus, he doesn't speak of what he knows. He does not speak of what he has experienced or seen. He simply says, "Rabbi, we know." He is speaking in the collective, in the plural. He is saying that we, and the we assume is the Sanhedrin court, Nicodemus does not share personal witness. He says, we know. What is it that we know? We know that you are a teacher who has come from God. Nicodemus goes a little bit further than just calling Jesus rabbi or teacher. He says, rabbi, which means master teacher. You are a master teacher, and because of what you have done, we know that your power is not from a human source. It comes from God, and we know that you have come here to teach us. Now, the gospel writer takes the time to describe for us in detail the wealth, the privilege, the prestige of Nicodemus, because he wants us to make the connection. Here in our human world, we will run into a lot of powerful people. All of us have powerful people over us. Who can tell us where to go and when to come? I have somebody called the district superintendent. The district superintendent has somebody called the bishop. The bishop has the general church, the judicial council. There is nobody that hadn't have somebody over them. We have teachers. Teachers have principals. Principals have superintendents. You go on your job, you know. Wherever you go, there are people who have position and power and authority over you. So get Nicodemus for our 21st century. He held power, position, and wealth. Get that connection, because in our 21st century understanding, unless we connect how powerful Nicodemus was, we will miss out on the miraculous gift that Jesus has brought to Nicodemus and offers to us today. Now, Nicodemus shows up. It's at nighttime. Anytime you enter into the world of Jesus, you're going to be encountering a language, a mythology, a way of living that is so foreign to you that it will require the gift of reimagining the possibilities of your life. So let me say this. When people say to us about church, "I don't get it," they're right. You can't just get it. You can't just read it. You have to give it a try. You have to put yourself in a position to seek out as well as to be sought out. So Nicodemus may have met Jesus because he was checking Jesus out on behalf of others. But Jesus had something else in mind for his nighttime visitor. Nicodemus arrived as an ambassador for the Sanhedrin court, recognized that Jesus had power that had come to him from God. The Sanhedrin court recognized that he was a master teacher. So Nicodemus entered the conversation by telling Jesus everything that he knew about him. It's very much like church people today. When we're trying to offer Christ to people, we start telling people everything that we know about Jesus. People really don't care about what we know about Jesus. They want to know, do we know him? Nicodemus knew about Jesus, but he had not yet had a personal experience with Jesus. He shows up at his nighttime visit with information about Jesus, and Jesus shows up with transformation in his hands. Jesus had come into the world not to hear what others had to say, but he had come into the world to bring the gift of life. So, John the Baptist tells us in his story that he taught about repentance and the baptism of water. That's why we baptize in the church today. But John also taught that there would be a second baptism that would be primary and more important than the water baptism, and that would be the baptism of the Holy Spirit that Jesus would bring into the world. Nicodemus did not go to Jesus by night expecting his life to change forever. He's just like us. You know, you get up on Sunday morning and we decide that we're going to go to church. But most of us do not show up in church on Sunday morning expecting an encounter with Jesus. We're not expecting that Jesus is going to change our lives forever. But my friends, when you show up in Jesus' space, you got to understand that Jesus shows up for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to bring a systemic cleansing change. He comes into the relationship with a plan in his hands for our hearts to be transformed forever. That's what happened to Nicodemus. He went in suspicious. He went in questioning, and he encountered an opportunity for transformation. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They all showed up. They showed up waiting and praying because Jesus said, "Stay here and pray." They stayed together. Their hearts were on one accord. They were seeking for something to happen. And the Bible says in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit came down like fiery tongues, and it sat on them. It stayed with them. It nurtured them. It birthed in them the church. John Wesley, May 24, 1738. He had grown weary in his spirit. He didn't feel like going to church. How many of you ever come to church and don't feel like it? Keep your hands down. Don't want to embarrass the preacher. All right. Can I just tell you, sometimes the preacher don't want to go to church on Sunday. I want to tell you, man. It happens to all of us. We get weary in the journey. We get tired on the way. John Wesley was the founder of United Methodism.
He was sitting there. He had been to America. There's something about America to mess you up. John Wesley had a fiery, fiery revival going on in England. He said, let me go to America and take this stuff. He came to Savannah, Georgia, and we sent him back broken. He found himself on May 24th. Friends said, come on, John, let's go to Aldersgate Church. John was saying, I'm not going. I don't feel like going. In his journal, he said, I went reluctantly. And as I was there, somebody began to read Martin Luther's preface to Romans. And all of a sudden, John Wesley said, I felt that my heart was strangely warm. And all of a sudden, John Wesley said, I knew that God had forgiven my sin. I knew, I like the word he used, that God had pardoned, that God had put something between me and that sin that drew me closer to him. I knew that God had washed my sins away. When Jesus shows up, he shows up to give us new life. When you come to church on Sunday, you may show up reluctantly. You may come in broken. You may come in wishing you'd had a few more hours to sleep, teenagers. But however you got here, you have arrived. And I want to tell you that the moment that you decide that you want God to do something with your 45 minutes, with your hour in this place, God is going to pull out all the stops to bless your life. What he does for us is give us a whole new way of envisioning the world. Nicodemus went in by night under the cover of darkness, having a secret meeting. Many of us, we show up under the cover of darkness, of doubt. We keep coming because somebody said going to church on Sunday is what you're supposed to do. We keep coming because somebody said going to Sunday school is what you're supposed to do. Going to Bible study is something you're supposed to do. And Jesus said, I appreciate you guys learning all about me, but what I want to do for you, I want to open you up to a whole new world. I want to give you a gift that will change your life forever. I want to meet you on your terms. And this is why I want you to understand Nicodemus is just like us. Some of us are blessed and we meet Jesus when we're in the early morning of our youth. Some of us, we meet Jesus in the early afternoon when we're in our young adult years. Some of us meet Jesus in the early evening when we enter our middle years. And others of us, well, we're little late bloomers, as we say, and we meet Jesus in the nighttime of our lives when the sun is about to set and we're entered into the senior years. But here's the good news that Jesus gives to us. Whether you come as a youth, a young adult, a middle ager, or an old ager, a senior, God says that I can transform your life today, that today is your day of change. And let me tell you, when John Wesley went through that hard woman experience, he came out of that experience and he said, there are only two things that Christians need to know. I know you've been in those classes where they tell you, you got to learn these 13 things before you can become a Jesus follower. John Wesley said, you got to know two things. And I want to offer those two things to you today. John Wesley said, the only thing required of a Christian, know that your sins have been forgiven. You have been made right with God, not because you are perfect, not because you mustered up enough energy to practice all the laws, because Nicodemus was doing that. You have been made right with God because of what God did in Jesus Christ. We call that justification, but it means that your sins have been washed away. It means that your sins are behind you. They are no longer constraining you. You can live wildly and abundantly for Jesus. That's the first thing. The second thing that John Wesley said, that's only two now, except the fact that you are forgiven. The second thing he said, believe for yourself that new life begins today. Can I just say this to you today? Today in Christ is your birthday. Yesterday is gone. Even if you had short words with your spouse or your children this morning, it's been washed away. What matters to God is this moment right here, right now. You are being called out to claim your forgiveness. Now, here's the deal. God has forgiven you. The only question left is, why are you holding all of your yesterday brokenness and sins against yourself? God wants you to live free. God wants you to live liberated. God says, I've forgiven you. Now, I want to just tell you, forgive yourself. Then I want to invite you to take a big step and say, today, this moment, this is my new beginning. This is the day that I was born, May 24th, 2015. Because here's the news. With Jesus, every sunrise brings a new birthday. Yesterday is gone. Today is your day. Meet Jesus in it. He's got transformation, washed in grace and love. There's a gift in his hands. It has your name on it. I want to send you out with a blessing today. I want to remind you to bless Sophie. Take a ribbon, tie it, and whisper prayer, bless Sophie. And I want to bless you. I want to tell you that God loves you. God has forgiven you. And I want to tell you happy birthday. Today is our day. Look at all these twins I got. We all start over in this moment. May you be blessed to live free, to love free, to claim your new life in Christ. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.